It's amazing as we come liturgically to the end of the world. Sunday is Christ the King, and that ends the whole cycle. It's new to have Christ the King there, but it's quite beautiful. And then the next Sunday is Advent, and we begin to relive all that again. And this time we have examples from our forefathers who did not obey God, as we do not obey God. So you have this wonderful story here of the beginning of the Maccabean revolt. Huh? Maccabeus means hammer. His name wasn't a family name. It was his father, Mattathias, who, when he watched that man go to sacrifice to a devil, he killed him. And then he went and killed the messenger. Well, now he's broken any hope of safety. So he says, anybody wants to come, let's go. They left their house, their food, their clothes, and they took off for the mountain. And they formed an army. And that army defeated huge armies coming against them from the north, from Antiochus. Now, we don't practice that kind of violent zeal because we've learned better. But do we practice zeal? You know, there's a force in zeal. Huh? There's a drive in zeal. We have today, again, another royal woman, Elizabeth, who was zealous for the poor. Zeal means I put myself to trouble. I don't fit God into my lifestyle. I put God first. And if that costs me something, hallelujah. It cost me something. Cost Jesus quite a bit. And then, as we're getting near, we have this text. Can you imagine God weeping over a city? How perfectly human he is. And he's divine. And he's weeping. These are his brothers and sisters. These are his flesh and blood. His mother comes from this people. And they're not paying attention. Here he is in the midst of them, preaching as no one ever preached before, healing and doing wonders as no one has ever done before, and they go right on. Terrible. Well, folks, what about us? Surely we can sense that something is afoot. There is going to be quite a clash of darkness and light. It's already begun. And the Western world has basically, as a world, turned from the gospel. That vision of humanity which made the Western world great and established, just think of the art. Think of the architecture. Think of the saints. Think of this care for the poor. And where is it going? We don't have a lot of time left, probably, to get ourselves ready, but also to practice zeal. Any kind of zeal. Pray. Read scripture. You might have a busy schedule, you know, but there are things to be done. If only you had recognized the time of your visitation. And Jesus weeps over them. Weeps over them. Now, you have to care a lot to weep. And he sees what's coming. You know, they will smash you to the ground. and your children within you. There were so many crosses outside Jerusalem, huh, where the Romans crucified thousands. They ran out of wood. To this day, see, when that finally happened in the year 70, and they absolutely destroyed the temple. Herod's great work. It wasn't quite finished when it was destroyed. Just destroyed. The violence, the satanic hatred that was involved in that. And it stayed ruined. And now, part of it is a mosque. It happened. Not leave one stone upon another within you. We're being fed through these readings to get alert and be zealous. How? However the Lord leads. But I think we have to recognize that life as we have known it is no more. The corruption in politics is a fable almost. It's so great. And not just in this country. This plan to have a world government. Power. And anybody who stands in the way, which would be people who know that there's a transcendence. This is not all. In fact, our reality depends upon transcendence. I told you that before. There's a Christian philosophy, if you will, that recognizes creation and the dignity of human beings. And that has governed Europe even when people stopped worshiping Jesus or even worshiping God. But they, and the list of some of the philosophers who are most responsible for where we are, but who said we can never not recognize God and man's relationship to God. And now, of course, just as this, how many parts of the world are people being imprisoned and tortured because they are an obstacle to this godless reign? So I think the gospel is a good one for us. And the example of Mattathias and then his son, Judas the Hammer, Judas Maccabeus, we wouldn't do that. We're not supposed to go around killing people like that. But the zeal. Leave your house, leave your food, leave your where you've lived, where your children were born up, where your father gave you birth. Go out into the hills and live like a hunted animal and resist this. These are the people you find praised in the letter to the Hebrews, right? They went out there, clothed in animal skins, hiding in holes in the hills, of whom the world was not worthy. I think we should at least begin to find some selfless ways to realize that it's no longer business as usual. Our Lord's warned us, just when everybody's saying peace and goodwill and marrying and giving in marriage, in the days of Noah, zap. Now, as we come to the liturgically reliving the end of the world, it's time to be zealous. Now we can do it in lots of ways, but we have to be zealous. We have to tell people. We have to love people. And the Lord is doing signs and wonders all over the place. There's going to be a young priest come here in a few months. This is a storybook. He found after ordination, in a year or two, that he had a great gift for healing and other wonders. So he went right to his bishop. He said, "Bishop, this is what's happening. And I need your discernment and your direction. What should I do?" The bishop said, "Well, I really don't have much experience in this field, you know. I can't counsel you very much. So what I'm going to do is put you under the authority of Bishop Sam Jacobs, who's been doing signs and wonders and deliverances and exorcisms for many, many years. And you will be under him for 3 years to work with him. And then come back and we'll reassess." Now that's beautiful, isn't it? Never mind these signs and wonders. Get down to business, kid. We needed a collection. No. We need zeal. And we have them. I told you, a woman said to me the other day, struck me so much, an ordinary woman, if you know what I mean. And she said, "I've been diagnosed with breast cancer. I don't know how bad it is yet, but I'm going to offer this up for the world." Now, who moved her to do that? The Holy Spirit. That's a very quiet zeal. So just ask the Lord, even if it's just give up candy. I mean, it doesn't have to be huge. It's the love and the care that matter.